All right, so I'm Terry Sosienski, and today I'll be comparing two manure application technologies and how that affects the fate of hormones in soil. So first, jumping right into it, why do we care about hormones in the soil? Hormones are endocrine disrupting compounds, which means that they interfere with the endocrine system of an organism, and the endocrine system is responsible for many sexual developmental traits. Hormones can cause problems at very low levels. So I have a physical example here. This is an example of egg precursor cells showing up in the testes of a male fathead minnow. But then they can also cause behavioral effects, such as in selecting a mate or in aggression. So down the line, that's still going to cause population deficits. Livestock naturally excrete hormones in their manure, so when we're applying it to the ground for a manure application for nutrient management, we're creating environmental hormones. This is an overview of the environmental fate. As I mentioned before, as you're applying the manure, you're subsequently applying the hormones, so that's an estradiol molecule. And then there's two main pathways that the contaminant can take from that point, the first being surface runoff, and that's when the hormone is associated with the soil particle or the organic matter particle and moves across the surface into the waterway. And then the second would be leaching, so that's when it becomes desorbed from the particle and moves down through the soil profile. But then we have sorption and transformation both in the soil and in the water, so that's going to change the concentrations of hormones over time. So the new technology that we're looking at is manure subsurface injection. But first I'll talk about surface application or broadcast application, and there's an example of that there. And the broadcast application is common and cost effective, and that's mainly because the technology exists, so farmers have this equipment already. But with the broadcast application, you also get nutrient losses through volatilization, and you also get nutrient losses through runoff, and that can cause eutrophication. And if you want to incorporate the manure so you don't have as much nutrient loss, you're going to need to till, and then you'll get the negative effects of tilling, such as crusting and erosion and carbon loss. So then subsurface injection was created to reduce nutrient losses by applying the manure in the subsurface, and it does follow no-till requirements still. And we're looking at whether that reduces the other pollution. But it does require specialized equipment, so you're going to have to go out and buy a new equipment, and it's also difficult to subsurface apply solids. So for instance, the poultry litter injector that we have is still a prototype model. It also takes more time to apply the manure in the subsurface. So the objective of this research is investigating the manure application technology, so that's the surface application and the subsurface injection, on the fate and transport of 11 hormones. So moving to methods and materials, we did a field-scale rainfall simulation, and the study site was in McCoy, Virginia at the Kentland Agriculture Experiment Station, and the soil type is braddock loam. So here I have a picture of the setup. So we have an iron frame that we hammered into the ground, and the frame is 2 meters by 1.5 meters. And we placed them on a 9 to 11% slope. And then we collected the runoff in this tube here. So it all runs downhill into the tube, and we collect it downhill. And then the manure that we applied, I'm going to say the wet weight of manure, and this is a typical application rate for Virginia. We applied dairy manure at 56.12 megagrams per hectare and poultry litter at 6.72 megagrams per hectare. And the differences between those two, we're looking that we're applying a lot more dairy manure than we are poultry litter, and that's because the dairy manure is as a slurry when it's in the lagoon, and that's how it's applied. So it has a lot more water content than the poultry litter. So we had three types of application. We had surface application, subsurface injection, and control, and that's for both the poultry litter and the dairy manure. And then I have our study design was a randomized complete block, and we did three replicates per treatment, and I have some examples of us applying the manure. So we applied the manure by hand, but we wanted to mimic how it would be applied if we were using a machine to do it. So we kept the poultry litter in chunks, as it would be if it was broadcast applied, and then we applied the dairy manure. We sprayed it onto a pan. We poured it onto a pan to try to get an even distribution of dairy manure across the plot. And then for the injection slit, we used the machine to create the slits, but then we widened the slits and applied the manure by hand. And then the slits were different for the dairy manure and the poultry litter, and this is, again, us trying to mimic the machinery that we would be using. So the dairy manure was applied to 15 centimeters deep and 60 centimeters distance between the slits, and then the slits were 15 centimeters wide. But then for the poultry litter, it was only applied to 5 centimeters deep, 20 centimeters between the slits, and the slits were 10 centimeters wide. So there's the rainfall simulator here. We are lifting up one of the tarps on the side so you can see in it, and then you can see the pan being rained on. We rained at an intensity of 77 millimeters per hour and collected 30 minutes of runoff per plot. And we rained on the day of manure application, immediately after the application, and also 7 days later. For sampling, we collected the runoff during the simulation, and then we subsampled afterwards, and there's mixing the runoff and subsampling. And then we collected a composite soil sample after the simulation, and to a depth of 0 to 5 centimeters, and then we also collected at 5 to 20 centimeters to get the surface and the subsurface soil. And then the samples were packed on ice and stored at minus 10 degrees Celsius until analysis. Sample extraction and cleanup, the soil and runoff sediment, which was filtered out of the runoff water we collected, we used accelerated solvent extraction and solid phase extraction for cleanup. But then the runoff water, we will be using online solid phase extraction for both steps. And then all the samples were analyzed using UPLC tandem mass spec. So I investigated 11 hormones because, as I mentioned earlier, the hormones will transform in the soil, so we want to get a broad array of the different types of hormones. So I have 4 estrogen compounds, 2 androgens, and these are testosterone precursors and metabolites, and progesterone, and then 4 estrogen conjugates. So moving on to results, first of all, I'm looking at the molar percent of hormones in the manure. So we have the type of hormone on the bottom and then the mole percent on the y-axis, and then poultry in black and dairy in white. So the first striking feature is that 4-AD, and that's one of the androgen compounds I was looking at, comprises 72% of the hormones in the dairy manure. And it comprises 4-AD and 1,4-AD, so those are both of those androgen compounds, comprise 56% of the hormones in the poultry litter. And that's significant because normally estrogens, free estrogens, are the most commonly studied hormones in manures, and there's only 11% of the hormones in the poultry litter and 16% of the hormones in the dairy manure that are the free hormones. And then we also have this large section here of the conjugated estrogens and progesterone, which we also detected at pretty significant rates in the poultry and dairy manure. Then we look at the amount of hormones that were actually applied to each plot in micrograms. You can see that the poultry litter had hormones applied in much greater amounts across the board than in the dairy manure, and that's mainly because of the dilution that we're doing too. We're not adding any water to the poultry litter. So finally, this is a pretty busy graph. So on the y-axis, we have the total hormone concentration in the soil in micrograms per kilogram. And on the bottom, to the left of the line, we have the dairy manure, and then to the right line we have poultry litter, and then we have between the injection slit and the injection slit. So those two are the injection plots, and then the surface application plots, the concentration of that. And then we have day 0 and day 7 now in the bars, and then the top graph is the 0 to 5 centimeter soil samples, and the bottom graph is the 5 to 20 centimeter soil samples. The point of this project was to compare the subsurface injection, the surface application, and I'm highlighting the difference between the injection slit concentrations and then the surface application concentrations. And you can see that the injection slit concentrations are higher than the surface slit applications for concentrations for both dairy manure and poultry litter. So that's significant because the surface area of the injection slits is much smaller than the surface area of the entire plot. So if we have lower concentrations or higher concentrations over a smaller area, maybe that's going to turn into less runoff, less runoff concentrations total. And we didn't see very high concentrations at all in between the injection slit, either at day 0 or day 7 for either type of manure. Now we're looking at the difference between day 0 and day 7. So we didn't see too much of a difference between the 2 days, even after another rainfall event. So this is showing that the hormones are pretty persistent in the soil, at least the total hormones are. And then you probably noticed this already, but in the 5 to 20 centimeter soils, we weren't getting very high concentrations of total hormones at all across the board when you compare it to the 0 to 5 centimeter soil. So for my conclusions, first of all, the hormones were concentrated in the injection slit. So we had, because of the surface area differences between the injection slit and the total plot, hopefully that means that there's going to be less runoff, less concentration of hormones in the runoff. The hormones showed little migration both vertically and laterally, so vertically being that they mainly stayed in the 0 to 5 centimeter soil, and laterally we didn't see any significant concentrations of hormones in between the injection slits. The hormones persist for at least 7 days, so we didn't see much difference between the soil samples immediately following application and 7 days later. And the whole picture, the big picture, the whole story is going to be better told when we analyze those runoff samples, and we can make just more conclusions off of this data. And thank you. Are there any questions? Yes?
So were the splits parallel to the slope or perpendicular to the slope?
The slits were perpendicular to the slope. Yeah, because the tractor came by and just made the slits in the ground, so it was kind of on the... Yes?
Why do you think you didn't find much of the hormone between your 5 and 20 centimeter depth that you injected? You had your slits down?
So for the dairy manure, it was only injected to 15 for the dairy manure, and the concentrations of hormones in the dairy manure were already pretty low, and then you have the greater volume that we're sampling in the 5 to 20 centimeter slit, so I think that those multiple factors contributed to not being able to detect them, so it was below the detection limit. So the dairy manure and poultry litter were applied to different plots, so there wouldn't have been any poultry litter in those dairy manure plots.
How did you collect your sample from the injection slit?
For how do we collect it from the injection slit? With a normal like nutrient management sampler, so like a 1-inch diameter sampler.
From the top of the
From the top. The manure was not completely fresh. The dairy manure had been collected about a week earlier, and then the poultry litter was from, it was probably about the same. But I did analyze manure that I had collected and stored the day of application, so.
15 to 7 days. How did you minimize the potential of natural rain?
We actually went out and covered them with plots. If there was a rainstorm, we covered them with tarps if there was a rainstorm coming, so we were there quite a bit. Yes.
I may have missed what you said, but on a mass basis, what proportion of the total mass of total hormones that were applied was recovered?
We will be doing a mass balance officially. So far, the dairy has been what we expected, but the poultry litter, we were actually detecting more in the surface than we had anticipated. So it was supposed. So the injection slits are supposed to have about 4 times the concentration, and it's compared to the surface application. But we saw that it was only about 2 times. So that's a question that we're going to answer once we get the big picture. Yes.
I didn't miss it, but what was your extraction solvent for the soil?
Oh, we have a Buki accelerated solvent extractor. So the extraction solvent is. First methanol and acetone, followed by methanol and water. And I get recoveries in the soil of about 75 to 100%. Thank you.
All right.